how Jesus will use things going on in our lives and the natural things to speak to us prophetically where we are and where we're going. I feel like the Lord has done that for us this morning. Just a little bit of what's been going on. First of all, in April 2010, the Lord spoke to Rick and I to move back to Vider, and which I wasn't very happy at first, honestly, because we were living in East Tennessee, where there's four seasons and there's mountains. Four seasons, which we only have two here. I always say we only have two, rainy season and non-rainy season, because we really don't, well, I guess spring would be allergy season. But anyway, that was April 2010. The Lord spoke to us to move back to secure our inheritance. We initially thought that that was just a word about securing the property that mom and dad lived on, and our family for generations, a couple generations, have owned and lived on. And we just really saw it in the natural. We had no idea that 6 years later we would be standing here. No idea at all. If Jesus would have told us, I probably would have ran to Mexico or something. In fact, I tried. But I was thinking about that this week, just how the Lord spoke that in April of 2010. And then we made the announcement. We feel like all of this is significant. I'll bring this all around to where it makes a little sense in a minute. April 10th, we made the announcement of the Saturday night services. You know, I want to tell you how that came about, right? Rick and I were talking. We felt like the Lord spoke to us about that. And we wanted to hang out and with Chris and Jamie for dinner, which rarely happens without children. In fact, it's really difficult to hang out sometimes because of children and have an adult conversation. And so we decided to do that. And I had mentioned to Jamie that we felt like the Lord wanted us to share something with them. And she said, well, that's funny because I feel like the Lord's speaking to me about something. So I'm going to write it on a piece of paper. And if it's the same thing, I'll just show you the piece of paper. So we're sitting there and talking about other things, and then we mentioned the Saturday night service, and she throws the paper at us. She threw it, didn't she, Chris? She threw the paper at us. And she threw the paper at us, and it said the exact same thing, the Saturday night service. You know, it's an awesome thing to be on the same page, isn't it? There is a rest in that. And so that's how that came about. Well, back to inheritance. You know, this inheritance, because we believe that we are a body, that we are together, that nothing happens to just us, that doesn't mean something for the whole. April 15th, we were able to purchase land. And we have no idea exactly what that means, what we'll do with that land yet. We believe that it's the Lord. You know, that day I was sitting there and just thinking about what Jesus had just done, and I'm not going to give you all the details, but know that it was Jesus. It is Jesus that brought all that together. I was sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me about the tent pegs. And so I went to Isaiah 54, and that's where we're going to start this morning. All this will make sense as I go on. If you would turn to Isaiah 54, we're going to start, well, I guess we'll start in verse 1. Seeing a barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I think I'll stop there for a second. You have to understand this word that Isaiah, or God is giving through Isaiah, is Israel is in captivity. Okay? So you can imagine their reception of that. You know, sometimes when we receive a prophetic word, even if we're in captivity, we reject it. We're like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And just picture that a moment. Israel is in captivity, and Isaiah is saying this, enlarge the place of your tents. So the Lord is saying even to us, prepare for God's expansion. Enlarge your tent pegs. Now, we've done that in the natural in many ways. I feel like one of those ways is the Saturday night service and us moving to that. We feel like I explained that a little bit last week, that we feel like we've done that out of obedience, so the Lord will bring forth rest and he will bring forth abundance in that. I feel like that is an act of faith. That's what Isaiah was telling Israel. Stretch out your tent pegs. I know you're not seeing that now, but as an act of faith, go ahead and do it and prepare. Prepare for the expansion of the Lord. So the land, I believe, is symbolic of the growth that has already come that we may not necessarily see, and the growth that is to come. Now I'm asking you to stretch your faith a little bit. I believe, like I said, that the Saturday night service is an act of faith. Now, naturally speaking, in the land has that we've just purchased has not been cleared for years. And it's a little bit, how do I say it? Overgrown woods, but I wanted more of a, you know, descriptive word. So yesterday we went out. And before we ventured onto the land, we had to get ready. We were like, okay, everybody must have long sleeve shirts, pants, rubber boots, and lots of mosquito spray. We went to Academy, and we had some mosquito spray. Rick and I went the other day to try to walk through it, and I think that the mosquitoes just licked the mosquito spray off, because they just kept flocking to us. I think we were feeding them. So with that said, we decided to try other mosquito spray. And so we got the kids ready. And yeah, they were still, oh my goodness, the mosquitoes. And you know, like when the mosquito spray is working, they don't actually bite you, but they'll still land and go or get close to you so you can hear them. It was pretty annoying. But anyway, so we had to make trails also to be able to go in the land. But before that, we're getting ready. All the kids are ready. And we're going out, and of course, there's complaining. In fact, at one point I told Emma that I was going to send her back because she couldn't handle the mosquitoes. She couldn't handle the complaint. But if there was a puddle, she was the first one in it. So with the rubber boots and everything. But I felt like the Lord was saying is that we must be dressed for what God has called us to and where he has called us to go. And that's out of Isaiah 58. You guys want to track with me, that's cool. If you just want to listen to me read, that's cool too. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. I love this part. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called a repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. You know, I was thinking about that this morning, is that in order to rebuild, we have to live in it. In order to rebuild in a city that we can't necessarily see in the natural, the brokenness in the walls, is you have to live in it. So we are dressed to rebuild. I'm going back to Isaiah 54:3. You will spread out, just the last part it says, and settle in their desolate cities. Desolate cities a lot of times just simply means that there's no life. There's no life. I believe that there's been moments in Vider's history where there has been life, but there's been nothing consistent through the time. Through the years, there's not been life consistently in Vider. There's been moments where the church has stood up and said, you know what, we're going to do this together. And then something happens and they back down. Maybe they weren't wearing rubber boots. Or maybe they were wearing the wrong mosquito spray. We need his life-giving presence. If you would turn to Ephesians 6. On this, we have to be dressed for what God has called us to. Isaiah 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. We have to be dressed for what God has called us to. And you know what? I think one of the hardest things for me to learn is that when someone says something to hurt me, it takes maturity to say, you know what? That's not them. That's not the one who really wants to destroy me. It takes maturity to say, my battle is not against you. And be dressed for what God has called me to. I know that I can't take everything that someone says negative about me and camp there. Cannot. Also, like I said, one thing that we had to do was clear land to be able to walk it, to make the trails, to make a place to stand, to a place to walk. You know, we are to know the tools we have. There's no way that we could have made a trail proper without tools to do that. You're not going to go and try to use a dull machete to cut your way through thick woods. If you do, it's going to take you a lot longer than necessary. Eventually, you'll give up. So know the tools we have. We cannot make a trail without the proper tools. And another thing is, there's a creek on this land, and we had to make a bridge. Well, Rick did, but I cheered him on. He had to have wood in order to make the bridge. At one point, he dropped the wood in the creek, a couple of pieces. Kayla was like, I can catch it, I can catch it. I was like, no, you can't. No, it's gone. So you have to have proper tools to make a trail. If you had Galatians 5, please. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. That tells me that is a tool. If I can walk in love, and I can walk in kindness, and I can walk in patience, then those things that come the opposite, that anger that comes against me, the rudeness, those things are unable to affect me because I have tools, the tools of the Spirit. It's like mosquito spray. They get close, they ring in the air, but they never bite. They're unable to land on me and to hurt me because I have the tools. I like also part where in this, Paul says, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. If I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which at times, let's face it, is difficult. I get it. If I set my heart to do those things, then my heart will not become conceited and it won't be provoking and envying each other. We got, just kind of flow with me here. There is a part on the land where a guy used to lease the property to hunt. So he made a road where, part of it, where a four-wheeler can go on. And the road is extremely nice. We had to, like I said, make trails to get there, and then over beside the road, it's still thick, and there's a little clearing where he had a deer stand, and he could watch deer, or I don't think he ever killed any. Do you know? No. But one thing that I realized walking on this trail, I even made a comment to Rick, and I was like, you know, it feels like the mosquitoes are worse along this trail, which is really weird, because we were in the thick, and then suddenly we were on this trail that looked fairly clear, I mean, around us, of course, but the mosquitoes were worse along this trail, and I was just thinking, it's because for us, we are called to create new trails. And there's times where, like I said about Vider, experiencing times of life and experiencing moments in life where the church would come together and then step back. So I believe that the church in Vider has made trails, and whether it's just a hog trail or whether it's a trail the size of a four-wheeler can go down, I don't know. We'll find that out. But I believe that there have been trails made. There's just needing to be some new trails and some new ways of doing things, right? Whatever that may be. We'll believe Jesus to show us. So there's occasions where we'll walk on old trails. But then there's occasions where we'll build new ones or make new ones and build bridges. I believe that the Lord has us in a place where we're looking on where we need to find new trails or to make new trails. I'm going to read this quickly. It's in Joshua, if you just want to write that down. So Joshua 1:3. I will give you every place you place your foot, as I promised Moses. Skip down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I believe that it is important that in this, first of all, that we know that we have authority over the territory, that we're not afraid, but we know our position. See, here's the thing is, like, we didn't take Matthew with us. We didn't take Matthew with us along the trails or to make trails. I mean, he's three. Right? So sometimes there's moments where some of us will be a little bit immature to blaze new trails. But soon we'll take him along the trails. Sometimes it's not about maturity at all. Sometimes it's just the fact that he's allergic to mosquitoes and he swells up. Sometimes it's just simply that someone gets easily offended and it's better if they stay back for a little while until maybe we bomb the place and then there's no mosquitoes. Y'all remember that after the hurricane, B-52s or something would come and they would like spray everywhere. Maybe that's what we need, right? But in that, we have to be sensitive to who's around us. We have to be sensitive to the fact that, you know what, maybe this person needs to have a job back here. Like, Dad and Mom stayed back. Mom came for a little bit, but Dad stayed back to hang out with Matthew. So Matthew wouldn't take off running towards us and jump in the water. But we need to be sensitive to one another and where we're at, where each person is at. And don't assume that someone can handle a machete when they can't yet. Let's look a little bigger. Some churches are not meant to do that. They're not. And that's cool. They'll find the other trails that are already established and that are already ready to be plowed down. Or to walk down. We have to be in a place of humility where as God is joining the churches together, because it's going to happen, we are going to see unity in this city. I don't believe God would put that in the heart of Jesus unless he wanted it to be fulfilled. Jesus prayed that we would be one, so it must be something that can be accomplished. So with humility and realizing who we are, if I know who I am and my position and what I'm called to do, if I know that I am called to use a machete, a sharp one, to blaze a new trail and to cut a new trail, if I know that about myself and I'm comfortable in that, then I'll be comfortable to let you do what God's called you to do. I'll be comfortable and excited and not conceited to allow you to exercise your God-given gift in this city. You know, I know this is not very long, but I felt like the Lord wanted us to know something. I believe it's this. I believe that as we come together for services on Saturday night, raise your expectation. Raise your expectation of what God is doing in this city. Because he's already expanded. And you know what that tells me? He doesn't expand us just for the sake of expanding us. I believe that he's saying this to the body of Christ. And he's not just saying it to Love and Truth Church, because he doesn't necessarily work that way. He works kingdom-minded. So he is saying to the body of Christ, I've already expanded your tent pegs. You see this and get ready. Because you're going to see more. So I think that the land is just an example of a token of what he's doing. Just an example of saying, okay, wear what you're supposed to wear. If you're supposed to be wearing rubber boots, then put them on. If you're supposed to be using a machete, then pick it up. If you're not, it's okay. It's okay.